We're so grateful for our CFX, particularly today, as we've had several members be reunited with CFX. I would encourage you to show your appreciation to Brent Hubble and all the members who join us here every Sunday to lead us in worship. But I just feel like today's worship is especially meaningful because of these persons behind me that give of their gifts that the good Lord has given them. What wonderful songs today. And what a wonderful scripture that we have to take a look at today. Now, the scripture that I have to share with you today from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7, leads us to the time of the birth of Jesus. Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary. Now, next week, I invite you to come to hear Polly's presentation of Mary's moment, or what it must have felt like for Mary to have held the baby Jesus following his birth. Polly's unable to be here today because she's not feeling well, and she certainly extends her greetings to you, the family of Mary Blocker. Polly and I both love Mary Blocker and spent time in her home. But let me encourage you now to direct your attention to Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. And Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Born of the Virgin Mary. We said that in our affirmation of faith. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. I'd like for us to think in terms of these two words together, Virgin Mary. You know, because she was a virgin and gave birth, this one who was born was divine. Mary was perplexed by this announcement of Gabriel that she was to conceive in her womb and bear a son because she said, "I am a virgin. How can this be?" But the angel said, "Look, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be holy." And so when we think in terms of the name Virgin Mary and we concentrate and focus on the virgin part, it reminds us that Jesus was born divine, fully God, begotten of the Father. But then when we take a look at Mary, well, that reminds us that Jesus was born of a woman, born indeed as we have all been born of a mother, to tell us that Jesus not only was born fully God, but he was born fully human. I can't get my mind wrapped around all of this, that Jesus Christ is at the same time both fully divine and fully human. The two natures in one. Yet that's what we believe. It's a mystery. Now, when we talk about the Virgin Mary, most people will challenge you on the virgin part because we don't understand how a virgin can give birth. We demand an explanation of how can you recite the Apostles' Creed, born of the Virgin Mary. Now, you know, that's what a lot of people like you and me wrestle with. I know I asked the question. But do you know that was not the problem long time ago? That was not the problem at all. You know what the problem was with the birth of Jesus a long time ago? It was when we said that this birth was actually God taking on flesh, and no one understood how a divine being could take on matter, could become as we are. And so it was the struggle for people a long time ago to believe that the divine would be born as we are, as a human. Isn't that interesting? The things that we struggle with weren't really the things they struggled with, and the things they struggle with aren't really the things that we struggle with. Well, I'm not going to solve all the divine mystery today. I'm just going to offer it up to you as that which invites us to come into the full experience of the glory of God. Now, I would like to focus in on this, the person, the Virgin Mary. I'd like for us to think about the person, Mary. Mary. It's a nice name. You know, Catholics have a special devotion to Mary. Lately, I've been doing a lot of reading about, you know, how it is that the Catholics have always made it a part of their faith experience, this devotion to Mary. And of course, a part of their devotion to Mary is the Hail Mary. How many of you have ever heard of the Hail Mary? Well, it was not the pass that Roger Staubach threw in 1975 for the Dallas Cowboys, and that was when it was first defined as a Hail Mary pass. But the Hail Mary is just simply this: Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. That is a direct quote from Luke chapter 1, verse 28, when the angel Gabriel appeared before Mary. He said to her those words. And then the second part, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. That's a direct quote from Elizabeth, whom she went to visit. And when Elizabeth met Mary, she said those words to Mary. So the Hail Mary is prayed almost every day. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And then, of course, throughout the ages, a pope added another part to it, not found in the scriptures, but a part of the Hail Mary prayer. And it goes, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. There's a deep and abiding and rich tradition within the Catholic faith of devotion to Jesus, but particular through Mary. Now, Protestants have a lot to learn. It doesn't mean that we have to embrace every single practice, but we have a lot to learn. And I'd like to direct your attention to something that I have recently come to appreciate. And that is, the Virgin Mary is not only Jesus' mother, but he's our mother. She's our mother too. In the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus is dying on the cross. He looks out before him, and there his mother is, the beloved disciple John, and a few other women. The others were somewhere else. And as Jesus was dying, he looked at his mother, and he said, Mother, woman, behold your son. And he pointed to the beloved disciple John. He looked at his beloved disciple John and he said, Beloved, behold your mother. And in that moment, we understand that what Jesus was doing was he was entrusting his mother to the care of the beloved disciple John. But at the same time, he was letting the disciple John know that Mary would be his mother. Now, the beloved disciple John represents all disciples. The beloved disciple John represents all of us. So in other words, Mary has been entrusted to us to be our mother, our spiritual mother. Now, here's what I'm living with right now. I'll just offer it up to you. I cannot help but think of my mother during the holiday season, in particular during Advent as we approach Christmas. But my mother died in 1998. But whenever Christmas rolls around, I cannot help but think about my mother. Last night in the service of light in the log cabin, the service for those who are going through a time of grief in a season of preparing for Christ coming yet again. In this particular service, there was the lighting of candles and the anointing with oil. And you could come forth and light a candle to remember a loved one, to be anointed with oil. And I stepped forth and I asked that prayers might be given for all persons who have lost a mother this past year. And I lifted up the family of Mary Blocker, for this is their Christmas without their mother, who lived to be 97 years old. And I said, include everyone who's thinking about their mother at this time. And then I know that not everybody has a special mother to recall. It's something sometimes we take for granted. Not everybody has a special mother. And then it dawned on me that Mary, the Virgin Mary, is everybody's mother. And that during this season of Advent, as we direct our attention to the Virgin Mary, she understands loss far greater than you do and than I do. For it was Mary herself who saw the death of her own son. She knew both the deep, deep experiences of joy and life, for she gave birth to Jesus, the promised Messiah, the one who was exalted as Lord. She knew the deep, deep joys of that birth, but then she also knew that he became more and more and more involved in giving himself to the world that in turn put him on the cross that ended in his death. She also knew the deep, deep sorrows of life as well as the joys. And so for those of you who may be going through a season of deep, deep, deep emotions, I offer to you that you have a spiritual mother, the Virgin Mary, who understands both deep, deep joy and deep, deep sorrow. And there's just something about knowing that someone understands, someone knows. I read a book recently called The Abbey by James Martin. It's a Jesuit priest. It's a novel that's very interesting. It's about a single divorced mom who, through a series of different experiences, finds herself in a monastery worshiping in a chapel. Now, she was raised in the Christian faith, but she drifted from the Christian faith and even began to doubt the validity of the faith. She had struggles, however, with the death of her son. And it seemed like somehow or another that only deepened the wedge between her and God and any possibility of embracing a faith. But yet she found herself drawn to this particular chapel. And in that chapel was a statue of the Virgin Mary. And as she looked upon the Virgin Mary, there was a time when she felt as if the Virgin Mary's eyes was piercing her heart and speaking the words, "I know your loss. I know your pain. I understand." She said it was the first promptings within her that there's a possibility that there's a God who understands. And so she continued to come back to worship. And you know, there before the statue of Mary was a table, and you could fill out little slips of prayers that you could give for Mary to intercede for you for. You know, people didn't necessarily pray to Mary as they asked Mary to pray for them. And so people had written on little pieces of paper, please pray for my brother, please pray for me, please remember so-and-so. And they had placed them in a little container. And so for some reason, she felt that she needed to write a letter to God. And she sealed it up and placed it on that table for Mary to give to God. Because she felt far from God, but she felt as if Mary understood her situation. And as she continued to come back to that chapel, a miracle took place. In the very moment of her attempts to pray, though she could not even pray, she heard God say, "I know, I understand." And then a mental picture within her mind of a garden, of Jesus coming to her. Just like he came to the women at the time of resurrection. Only in this picture, he was carrying her son. And she at that moment was able to embrace Jesus. Now, how did all that happen? Because the Virgin Mary is a helper to those who need help. The Virgin Mary does things like that. You know, the Virgin Mary is as close to Jesus as anybody else will be. If you really want to get a message to Jesus, speak to his mother. His mother will get a message to him. You know, the first miracle in the Gospel of John, you know what that was? Well, they were at a wedding feast and the wine gave out. And somebody came to his mother, the wines gave out. And I guess Jesus wasn't going to do anything. But she said, "The wine's out." She told her son, "The wine's out." So next thing you know, Jesus is telling him, "Look, go get those pots and put some water in them and blah, blah, blah." And then she says, You do what he tells you to do. There's something about the Virgin Mary, that spiritual mother in our life that we all need to bring us closer to Jesus. And so during this time of Advent, I offer up the words again within my heart. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, who now also is our mother. Let us pray. Gracious God, there is that within us that longs for a mother. For those of us who have our mothers now, we give you thanks for them. We bow in humble thanks for the gift of our mother. For those whose mothers have gone on, Lord, we bow in humble thanks for those who have given birth to us but yet still bless us. For those who cannot necessarily say that they've had a mother to bless them, but yet they've had a mother, Lord, help them to come to terms with that within the knowledge that there is a mother for them and there's a mother for their mother that perhaps she never had. And that mother is the Virgin Mary. Dear Lord, we thank you that during this season, the gift of the Virgin Mary is that she can draw us all closer to Jesus. In whose name we pray, amen.